Ms. Belinda? John? Thank you, because again, that's wonderful songs. If you really listen to the lyrics of it, folks, it speaks a lot, and this is what we're going to be speaking about today. Because all our hope is in Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
So folks, I don't know about you, but it is an honor to stand here before you. Brother Keith asked me to fill in for him, and I was honored when he asked me. Because again, I love the Lord just as much as all of us do. And my wife could attest to this, that, you know, God's called me to preach, and this is something I know that he's done, because this is not of me. Whenever I stand before you or anybody to present the word, this is not me. This is of the Holy Spirit. And as Keith asked me to bring this message to you today, I had a couple of them I was working on because I teach to some people online. I preach online every week. And this one in particular I was drawn to because it's, you might be able to relate to it also. And I thought about this, and when I was thinking about it, when I was putting this together, everywhere that you look today, it seems we hear more reports of churches in decline. More people walking away from the faith. More people giving up on God. Why is this happening? Unless we are willing to ask what I think can be some very real but very difficult questions, we will never understand the why. More and more in this day and age, I and you may have seen other Christians giving up, walking away from the faith, or just plain outright quitting altogether. And when we see a Christian that quits and walks away from Jesus, we are shocked and at times disheartened and in disbelief. We may ask ourselves, why? Well, it might be more appropriate, and this is what I thought about, if we ask the question ourselves, and think about it, could that ever happen to me? Could that ever happen to me? It's kind of a frightening thought when you think about it, is it not? And again, could it really happen? Is there any possibility that you too might one day turn away from the Christian life, rejecting the calling that God has given you? What assurance do you have that you are firmly rooted in God's true church? How can you be sure? Absolutely sure that you are immune to such tragedy. Yes, it would be easy for us to say, you know what, I quit, to walk away. Life is too hard. I cannot take this anymore. The scary fact here, many has came to this crossroad in their Christian walk. So once again, the question is, why do they quit? I want to make sure this morning what you hear is simply, what if the reason you gave up on God wasn't really a good reason to give up? Could it be you blame God for something that wasn't his fault? Were you taught something that has given you the wrong impression about him? Was it the imperfection of someone else that pushed you away? Friends, whatever the reason is, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be so hard on yourself. You have Christ Jesus in you, and you have that inner peace. Satan, my friends, is the one who wants you to quit. He wants you to think about quitting when you do not. He wants you to quit on Jesus and just walk away. And folks, we are in a war because Satan will try everything within his power to drag you down, to hit you, to attack you, to get into your mind, to make you think, give up on him. He's not helping you in your circumstance. Quit. Walk away. Your life would be a lot more easier than it was before. But as we all know, if we know the Word of God, the Word of God is true because Satan is a father of all lies. And we have that power to rebuke him because greater is he who is in me than he who is of this world. But sadly, many folks do quit and they do walk away and they do give up on God. And most reasons, I think, is we think it's too hard to follow him and do as he asks us to do. So if you got your Bibles with you, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to be going to John chapter 6. 66 through 69. John chapter 6, 66 through 69. And starting with verse 66, and he says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the world's, or the words, of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you, Holy One of God, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, again, Father, as I always say, please forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. And Father, for this moment, as we gather together in this worship and in this sanctuary, let our minds be focused on you and you only. And Father, if we are dealing with something, if we are being attacked, if we are being told by the enemy to quit, give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to stand up to him. We ask of you, Father, to be with us, carry us. Because as the song we just heard, all our hope is in Jesus. Father, I want you to know that I love you. And the rest of us who are here today, we love you. Because they could have been elsewhere. They could have went, done something. But they decided to come here to pay honor to you. And I ask of you to bless them, anoint them. Help them whatever difficulties they are facing. Help them whatever situation they are fighting. Help them whatever problems there may be in their lives. Let them know that you are with them and you will never forsake them. Father, we want to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor to you in your name. And in Jesus' name we all say, amen. Amen. You see, folks, in this passage we just read, our Lord had promised eternal life to his followers. The disciples fastened on a plain sand and resolved to cleave to him. When the others fastened on the hard sands, he was telling them, they forsook him. Or in other words, they just left. Your teachings are too hard. We can't take it. You see, folks, Christ's doctrine is the word of eternal life. And therefore, we must live and die by it. If we forsake Christ, we forsake our own mercies. So in this message this morning, if we are at times tempted to quit, to give up on Jesus, to walk away, we need to be reminded of several important reasons not to do so. The first reason of not quitting is present circumstances can be overcome. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13, what it says. It says, for I, the Lord, your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, and I love the words, fear not. I am the one who helps you. See that, folks? Right there. The Word of God. The truth. And we've been hitting on the truth starting this year, 2020. I know God's Word is true. So whatever circumstances you're dealing with, whatever problems that you have, whatever's coming into your life, look what God says. Fear not, because I am the one who helps you, not us. And many Christians seem to accept this concept that God is in control until circumstances they face gets rocky in their lives. And at this point, we naturally seek to change the circumstances all the way. I'm guilty of it sometimes. Whenever I'm faced with something, sometimes I think, you know what? I'm going to take care of it my way. And a lot of times I have to think, I'm not Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra sings the song, I did it my way. Well, we can do it our way, but if it's not God's way, it's not going to work out. We have to trust in the true living God, because He is the one that's going to see you through it no matter what. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, at times you just want to be like the prize fighter and just throw in that towel and say, look, I can't handle this. I can't. But your faith is tested at that time. Your faith is the one that tells you, dig deep. God, I don't know how I'm going to trust you. You're going to see me through it. And I'm learning at this point that isn't always the way that God works whenever I try to do things on my own. That's not how it works. We who follow Jesus must trust in Jesus. As John said, all our hope is in Jesus, not ourselves. You place hope in something else, it's going to let you down. It's going to let you down. You see, folks, God wants to change me. God wants to change you. And He may use our circumstances to do it. Remember, folks, we all know this phrase, He is the potter and we are the clay. God is the one that's constantly shaping our very lives. All the times, you know, I use the illustration, if I had, I didn't think about it, but it's like a little cookie cutter, you know. Some of you who cook, you know, you get the little gingerbread men's, whatever, and you put it in that dough. But when you put it in that dough, you still got all that other dough around it. But every time, see, this is what God's doing. He's got to pull that apart. Ow! You got to pull this. Ow! You got to pull that. Ow! You got to pull that. Ow! See, it hurts when God starts doing that. But then when you get all that outer edge out and you got that little gingerbread figure, that's what the end result should be in our lives if we let God do what He does best. He's molding us. He's shaping us. He is the one that is directing our lives. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important to listen to let Him guide, to let Him teach, to let Him direct you. He knows if you go into the flesh, if you try to do it on your own, you're going to boo-boo. He knows it. It's us, up to us. Decide, who do we submit to, ourselves or Him? And I want you to know, no matter what you're facing today, give your circumstances to God. Rise above this trick of the enemy, because it said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. God cares for you, friends. God loves you. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows the problem you're having. He understands. You don't think He don't? Think about the Israelites. When they were held bondage in Egypt for over 400 years, they were constantly crying out to God. You think maybe at some point they might have figured, you know what? I'm just going to give up because God's not listening. And they had to endure it for 400 years. So whenever you're dealing with something and you cry out to God, God help me, all of a sudden you don't hear a response, don't quit. Don't give up. God hears you. God hears you, my friend. And the main reason why this passage tells us to give all of our circumstances to God, because too many times we may find ourselves bringing God down to our level of thinking instead of raising ourselves up to His way of thinking and doing it His way. God's standard is up here. Ours is down here. We should never bring God down to that level. Always tell everybody, look up. Look up. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus is the one that's going to help you. Don't ever try to think you're going to bring God down to your level. Don't try that. Because again, we're trying to be in control. We need to find out and say, you know what, God? We need to find out from you who really is in control. Because a lot of times, you know, when you are pushed, poked, prodded, tested, when it just seemed like the whole world's turned upside down, you think that it's happening for a reason? No. Things happen. Satan is trying to do this. Things happen to us in our lives. But you have to understand, Jesus himself even warned us. He said, you will endure tribulation. That's not me saying it, folks. That's our Lord and Savior said that. So he gave us the warning. So he also told us, but be of good cheer. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going to face. That's why he told us this. That's why he told us, be ready. It's going to happen. Yes, I wish our lives would be like sitting on a big, fat, fluffy cloud with a little straw in our mouth, laid back, and we got it made. I wish it was like that, but it's not so. All my hope is in Jesus. And when dealing with difficult circumstances, when things aren't going our way, sometimes we ask, why, God, why? But the correct way when dealing with difficult circumstances, we should be asking, what, God, what? What are you trying to show me? Don't ask the why. It's okay to ask why every now and then. But whenever you are dealing with something in your lives, ask God, what? What are you trying to show me, Lord? What are you trying to show me? Teach me your ways. Because if we make the circumstances we're dealing with bigger than our God, folks, then we just made a huge spiritual mistake. And plus, we destined ourselves to live with our current mess until we decided to give it to Jesus. Cast all your anxieties on Him. And whatever you or I are facing, remember what God tells us, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Wow. Don't quit. Don't quit. God helps you overcome whatever you are facing. If you are willing to trust Him and follow His ways and not of ourselves. The second reason of not quitting or giving up is, and I love this, there are friends who are willing to help you. That's right. See, I can't count everybody real quick, but I'm looking at all my friends here today. There are friends willing to help you right here. We are a church family. John chapter 15:15 says this. And this is Jesus speaking, folks. No longer do I call you servants, For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is the real friend we have in this world and in the kingdom to come. And yes, while traveling in this world, we do need friends. We do. We need real Christian friends who will help us, comfort us, listen to us, and be there for us when times are hard. That's real Christian friends. That's what they do for each other. This is natural for us just to have them. I need friends. I need all the friends I can get. My main friend is Jesus Christ. I know that. But I need real Christian friends that I can talk to and say, brother, I'm having a hard time with this. It's killing me. Or sister, I'm just having a difficult time with that. Pray for me. I know some in here is praying right now. I know it. That's what real Christian friends do. And yes, true friends are hard to get by nowadays. In an age where relationships are disposable as plastic, lasting and persevering relationships has become a rare commodity these days. But God's design for friendship has always been genuine, authentic, and lifelong. That's a real Christian friend. A real friend is hard to find, they say. We all had friends who disappeared in a blink of an eye. Friends who we thought were true, but later we found out there weren't. There was not. And we've been hurt by them. I have. And we find out that friends only befriended us because they needed something from us in some kind of a way. And once they got what they got, they were gone. And with each friendship has proven false to us, we all got hurt. And because of these sad experiences that we may have went through or dealt with, many of us would rather stay alone. We'd rather be isolated. We'd rather not talk to nobody. We'd rather hide in some corner at some social event. We'd rather not attend some social event. I just don't want to be bothered with nobody because everybody I thought was a friend has betrayed me and hurt me in some sort of a way. And folks, I'm talking about, I've seen this in a lot of Christians that I have talked to and counseled with. They've been hurt by church members, especially in general. Many of them refuse to go back to churches because of all the hurts they went through. That's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a real Christian friend. Look, I understand it and I love you and I will help you. But look, I shouldn't hurt you in no way. And if I did, I should figure out, look, Lord, I need to make this right. That's what happens. Many become hurt by people they thought were friends. And this is why I said the real friend has to be Jesus. Look to him. Look to him. People in this world will fail you, but Jesus will not. And after all the betrayals and the abandonments, the exposed lies and uncovered truth, many of us end up a lot more friendless. And some of us end up sad. But we need to remember one thing. God is the one who will never let you down. God will never let you down, my friends. Never. And why? Again, because he said he will not in his words. Because if the whole world and its population faded, we have a real friend who will never, ever forsake us, never abandon us. He will never give us up to the dogs. He will never leave you in the dumps. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Christ. He's your real friend. So don't quit on him. Because he did not quit on you when he was nailed to that cross. He could have just said, nuh-uh, no way. I'm not doing that for them. I'm not doing it for you. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to that cross and endure all that. No way. But he did it. He did it for all of us. For everybody. He laid down his life for you. Why should we not do the same for him? And the third point for today is of not quitting or giving up. And I love this. God is waiting for you to come to him. God is waiting on you. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 18 says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Look, folks, blessed are those who wait for him. And notice in the first part of this verse, who is the one waiting? Who is the one being patient? God is. God is. He is the one waiting for you to come to him. How long has he been waiting? A day? An hour? A month? A lifetime? But why is God waiting for you to come to him? Is he waiting to pounce on your every mistake? Is he waiting to condemn you for your actions? Is he going to point out all your faults and failures? Is that why he is waiting for you? Is it? No. No. That's not the reason. He's waiting for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. And we must not only think of all waiting upon God, but also of what is more wonderful than that. God is still waiting upon us, no matter who we are. And a vision of him waiting on us will give new impulse and inspiration to our waiting on him. It will give us unspeakable confidence that our waiting cannot be in vain. If he waits for us, then we may be sure that we are more than welcome and that he rejoices to find those he has been seeking for. We all know the passage. I quote it a lot. Remember the one where he leaves the 99 to go after the one? That's a true God. To leave the 99 to go after the one. Because he cares about the one also. But he also cares about all the 99. So he's waiting on you. So folks, don't give up on him. Don't. Instead, do what Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart. And let us seek even now at this moment in time in the spirit of a humble heart waiting on God to find out something of what it means. Therefore, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious to you? We will accept the echo back the message. Blessed are all that wait for him. Don't give up. Please, don't give up. Don't quit. God has not given up on you. God has not given up on you. God does not quit. It is we who quit and walks away. Folks, I implore you, run to him with open arms. Father, Father, forgive me. Father, I'm yours. Run to Him in His loving arms because He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Don't give up. So in closing, I'll leave y'all with this. In this message, we covered main reasons why we don't quit on God. And it's because we're faithful to Him no matter what we are facing in life. That's right. We're facing trials, hardships, pains, losses. But let's not quit. Let's not give up. Yes, it comes to your mind. Throw it away. Walk away. Too difficult. But don't quit. My friends, yes, it's hard. And yes, at times, we have given into the thoughts of quitting and giving up on Him. And yes, we think that life would be better if we have decided not to follow Him at all. But those who are of God should know this is not true. This is not true. I know we think those thoughts, but those thoughts are not true. God is the real God. God is the one that will not quit on you. Why? Well, it falls down to this. No matter what we do, no matter the mistakes that we make, no matter how hard or difficult we make things out to be, God is not going to quit on you. He knows what you're going to do already. We must remain faithful to Him. And as I said, whenever we're dealing with these things, yes, it hurts. And yes, we do doubt. And yes, we do fall into difficult walks. But we are to overcome and remain faithful to Him because He done so on that cross. And the difference between faithful people and unfaithful people is that faithful people do not give up at the first sign of difficulty. They keep on keeping on. Faithful people are determined. Faithful people are diligent. They are overcomers. Do y'all understand that? Faithful people are persistent. Faithful people don't know when to quit. You know how a little acorn becomes an oak tree? An oak tree is just an acorn that refuses to give up. Refuse to give up. Look, I'm not a smart person, but I do know one thing. It is always too soon to quit. You are never a failure until you quit. And it's always too soon to quit. God uses tough times to test our persistence. He's tested me more times than I can think. But look what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 36 says. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. God's words declare that it's possible to face the agonizing realities of life with joy because the testing of our faith produces steadfastness and it gives rise to endurance. But a hard Christian walk with the Lord doesn't automatically produce pleasant things. It doesn't. In fact, the trials we face in our walk with the Lord, sometimes it does make us despondent. Sometimes it makes us impatient, envious, and yes, folks, sometimes even angry. But if we do not give up, if we do not give up, suffering can produce a harvest of righteousness. Folks, don't give up. Don't quit. Why? Well, the wonderful news is this. The resistance is often fiercest right before the breakthrough. Let me repeat that. The resistance is always fiercest right before the breakthrough. I don't know how many of you may know this fact, but you know, I found this out a couple months ago, that it's always darkest just before dawn. You might be at that particular point in your life where your breakthrough is fixing to happen. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because whatever else comes our way, and there's a song that we used to sing at the other church that I went to help out over there. It's called Hallelujah Anyhow. Never, never let your troubles get you down. Lift your hands up high and say, Hallelujah anyway. Don't quit. Don't give up. And let us not stop looking to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father,